answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Iranians are launching new attacks today. Earlier, sirens sounded across Bahrain amid incoming Iranian missile fire. The Jordanians say they shot down at least five incoming Iranian drones. This does follow another heavy night of U.S. strikes against Iran. It was the 10th consecutive night aimed at degrading Iran's ability to threaten vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. Central Command released a statement saying since early May, CENTCOM forces have helped facilitate the transit of approximately 900 commercial vessels and 450 million barrels of crude oil. They went on to say American forces remain postured and prepared to hold Iran accountable for unwarranted aggression towards civilian mariners seeking to freely and openly transit the strait. Early this morning, Iran attacked another tanker off the coast of Oman, forcing the crew to evacuate the vessel, according to maritime tracking groups. This does come after President Trump issued a new warning to the regime about killing American forces in the Middle East. The commander-in-chief said every time Iran kills an American soldier, they will pay for that killing many times over.
Good. Many times over. And of course, unfortunately, you can only kill them once. But Trump is making it very clear that we will continue full force against you. And yet, even then, he's holding back a bit. I mean, you have to keep in mind what we could have done to Iran already. We haven't. We were doing incremental and specific targets, but now beginning to be more widespread. Is this an escalation or just basically going ahead and completing what we need to? Because Iran is not bowing. And in fact, Iran continues to attack ships going through the Strait of Hormuz, including civilian ships, trying to attack our forces on the strait, as well as their neighboring Gulf nations, and in particular where our U.S. troops are stationed. And Trump says, we will make sure you pay for those deaths. He's also making another vow. I'll get to that in just a moment. Welcome aboard hour number one, Larry Connors USA, July 21, 2026. I'm reminding you when we're on the air, every Monday through Friday, from 6 to 8 p.m., we are streaming video. You can actually watch the program. I encourage you to do so. Well, how would you do that? I'm glad you asked. You go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. Larry Connors USA Rumble or Facebook. And everything we do goes up as a podcast later, available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, or any podcast platform you go to. You search Larry Connors USA, we should be there. And I remind you, at Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more knowledge than you have as we begin that hour. That's a direct promise and a guarantee from me. Coming up in our next hour, Mondami's been flapping his lips about, well, when Netanyahu arrives for the UN summit meeting in September, we're going to arrest him and send him to The Hague for war crimes. First of all, can he do that? And what exactly is involved? We will get into that in more detail in our next hour. And later this hour, the rise or fall of the West. We're on the cusp. Are we going to continue to move forward, or are we going to be falling to the depths that we've never seen before? My guest will break it down for us. He's with the David Horowitz Foundation. You'll want to hear from Mark Tapper coming up later. And our story behind the story, July 19, 2018. 2018 in July. The duck boat tragedy at Table Rock Lake. The duck boats you often have seen if you've been around the Branson area, traveling even down the street. They have wheels on them. They load people up and they drive right into the water and do a cruise around part of Table Rock Lake. And it's all been fascinating and a lot of fun for folks, but not on this month, 2018. There was a tragedy at Table Rock Lake. Ended up 17 dead. We'll get into that. Story behind the story. before we wrap up this hour. Now, we're talking about what Iran has been doing and what we know they have been doing, and targets that we have not directly hit for specific reasons. And former National Security Coordinator Rich Goldberg says Pick Axe Mountain has to be the next target.
So I've talked about this site for a long time, as of some of my colleagues. This has been under construction for years now. The Biden administration did nothing about it. In fact, was part of the appeasement problem that let them continue construction of this facility. This is buried deep underground near Natanz, deeper underground than Fordo was. It's supposed to be more hardened of a facility to withstand military strike. It was not hit last year during Midnight Hammer. It was not hit this year during Epic Fury, which has raised questions of whether or not it can be hit by air or sea. So the question now is, have we developed solutions, even if they're short-term Band-Aid solutions, to bury it, to deny access to it? Because this is definitely the nuclear breakout facility that Iran wants. They can't allow that facility to continue.
Well, to that point, President Trump stating today, we will be hitting Iran's Pick Axe Mountain probably, and I'm quoting, probably very soon, and quote, very heavily. We've known what's been going on, and we could still go after it, but apparently there are reports, even from the Wall Street Journal, that Iran is now moving some of its nuclear centrifuges inside Pick Axe Mountain. Trump says we're going to hit any site where they're even thinking about nuclear development. So Pick Axe Mountain is on the target, and probably sooner than later, if they're beginning to escalate their efforts. Trump was asked, do you believe Iran has moved those central those nuclear centrifuges into Pick Axe, as reported by the Wall Street Journal? He said they may have, but we follow wherever it's happening, the material. And we will be hitting that area very soon. And there's not a thing they can do about it. So we're willing to move to that level. And then there's another front. ABC News report.
This morning, new fears the war with Iran could be expanding, with the Iran-backed Houthis from Yemen now threatening to block Saudi oil from transiting another key waterway, this one connecting the Red Sea to the Indian Ocean. With traffic in the Strait of Hormuz already slowing to a crawl, cutting off the Red Sea could cause oil prices to spike even further. And gas prices now more than $4 a gallon as well. This as overnight, the U.S. launching the 10th straight night of strikes on Iran, while Iran launches strikes far beyond its borders. Air raid sirens echoing here in Jordan. Six missiles and five drones intercepted overnight. This after three U.S. service members were killed or presumed dead in that Iranian attack on a U.S. base in Jordan late last week. Video circulating online shows that massive explosion, a fireball erupting, debris raining down. Two of the soldiers killed, identified as 19-year-old Private Isabella Gonzalez of Texas and 25-year-old First Lieutenant Tyler James Fian of Hawaii. In addition to those fatalities, 100 service members have been wounded in just the past few weeks, although most returned to duty.
That is good that most have returned to duty, but 100 of them still injured. And you heard the latest casualties. We told you about those yesterday. But what they're pointing out, the Houthi rebels are now looking at closing off another choke point down around Yemen, where the strait, any ships that make it through the strait then could use the Red Sea and go into the Red Sea, and now they're going to begin to choke that off. Well, we're going to have to make sure we hit them as well. We're doing everything short of absolutely wiping Iran off the face of the earth. And Trump does not want to do that because the Iranians inside that nation want to be free. They want to go back to what they had prior to 1979 when the mullahs and ayatollahs overtook our embassy. Remember that? Prior to that, they were the most Western nation in the Middle East, next to Israel. Most of those inside Iran probably want to go back to that day. But, of course, they're now controlled by the mullahs. And then you get this nonsensical approach. And description and portrayal by Joe Scarborough on Morning Joe.
They depend on Americans being strapped down to elections coming up that create false deadlines that put us in a weak place to negotiate. So we always have to take a soft, weak, tepid line. Jimmy Carter had hanging over him the 1980 election against Ronald Reagan. So the Iranians knew time and time again they could take advantage of that weakness. Now, of course, you're hearing some talk about an upcoming midterm election, not even a presidential election, where we're supposed to back down, cave to Iran, give them an MOU where they get $500 billion and become the most powerful country in the entire region. It's fascinating. We'll see which direction it goes. We tried to bribe them. Make no mistake of it.
No, I didn't.
The Trump administration tried to bribe Iran with $500 trillion after worrying about a couple hundred, after worrying about $1 billion or $2 of cash on pallets. The Trump administration tried to bribe Iran to the tune of $500 billion.
Let us set the record straight. He's talking about the billions that Obama sent in the dead of night to Iran, various denominations, various currencies, so they could rapidly distribute it across to their Middle East rebel units. We have not been trying to bribe them. We put a plan on that you can cure this kind of money if you work in phases, and by various phases and stages, we will release more money to you. If you want to call that a bribe, fine. I call it a negotiation. But you had to meet this standard. And then the first thing Iran does, they turn around and break that performance standard by firing upon merchant ships in the strait and on our U.S. naval ships. Again, if you want a clear understanding, you do not go, obviously, to CNN and Morning Joe or MSN Now, or whatever the hell they call their program now. You go to someone who has some knowledge, Secretary of State Rubio.
The MOU dead, or are we just back in full?
Well, they're not complying with it. I mean, the straits are supposed to be open, free of tolls, free of attack, free of all the things they're doing against these ships. So you can't have an MOU that's alive if they're violating the terms of it. What I will say is that the United States always remains open to a diplomatic solution. We've tried multiple times with Iran, and we'll continue to try. If that door opens, we'll be happy to see it open. But right, and they continue to send signals that they want to talk, that they want to negotiate. But their behavior is what we're responding to. And their behavior is they're launching missiles and drones against ships, including tonight. I think we're always open to diplomacy. It has to be real. It has to be a deal that they're willing to live by. Look, Iran a week ago was supposed to put out a statement saying that the Straits of Hormuz would be open, that they would no longer attack shipping. And instead of doing that, they attacked three ships. I think that was last Friday or Saturday. So, I mean, their behavior has to change in order for ours to change.
That is exactly the point. We're not making a bribe. We're negotiating and saying, if you want this money, you have to achieve this stage. And they say they will, and then they lie. They lie! As I've said repeatedly, a snake may shed its skin, but it's still a snake. Oh, speaking of snakes, how the left is like a snake eating itself. Even CNN political analyst Van Jones denounces what the left is going to do.
I've been waiting my whole life to see a youth movement do what it's doing, but it's being hijacked by people who are putting in nutty ideas supporting terrorists, nutty ideas saying that we don't need cops in prison. We can't deport anybody, even if they rape somebody. Who said this? Chevalier. If we can't say right from wrong, if we can't say good from bad, if we can't separate progressive ideas from regressive ideas, we're going down the same pathway that has pulled the Republican Party into an unrecognizable shell of itself. And I refuse to let that happen to Democrats.
And the other problem.
I am a progressive Democrat. You want to talk about prison reform? I've done it as well as anybody, Republican Democrats in the South with Trump. I've done prison reform. I never said have no prisons. Where are you going to put the Klan? I've done police reform. I never said no police. Where are you going to put the pedophiles? Who's going to grab the pedophiles? This stuff is going too far.
Too far. He knows it. That Van Jones on CNN, political analyst and a Democrat. He says, but they're going too far, and they continue to go that direction. There's a new survey out, and a position as presented in a conservative blog called Hot Air. Dems are not going to do well in generic midterm polls. He said, Democrats are measurably ahead for what's worth given the unreliability of polling these days. But currently on the Real Clear Politics average of polls, Democrats are up by 4.7%. But that's thanks to a couple outliers that put them up even 6 or 7. But he said, if you look over these polls, while they give Democrats a 2.4-point edge, that is hardly overwhelming, especially given a Republicans' advantage in the distribution of congressional seats. In other words, saying they do not have everything they think they do. They're doing exactly what Van Jones said, and Speaker Mike Johnson, the Republican, says it's right in your face.
As we say all the time, this is not your father's Democratic Party. The chasm between the two sides and their visions for America and what we believe, our principles, our priorities, our platforms, has never been more divergent than it is right now. As I've said here many times, and I say across the country, you know, a few decades ago, Republicans and Democrats in Congress are arguing over marginal tax rates and shades of regulation. Now we are quite literally in a contest to determine whether we're going to maintain our status as the world's great superpower, the greatest nation in the history of the world, as a constitutional republic, or we're going to tear that down to the foundation like the communist Democrats want to do and go down this dark road of Marxism. Not on our watch. We're not going to do that. And I am very confident. In fact, I'm very enthusiastic about the upcoming midterm election because I believe that people are beginning to see this. And it is going to motivate voter turnout for true Americans who love their country and want to keep it. We're in the process of making it better every single day. And you're going to see that on display this week on the floor. We've said this is a contrast. We had been saying for months, you've heard me say, a contrast between common sense and crazy in the midterm. And now it's common sense versus communism.
Yeah, very common sense. And back to that Hot Air conservative blog pointing out Democrats have become much more favorable to socialism, but overall is quite unpopular with the public. No kidding. Even inside the Democrat Party and folks like Van Jones calling them out. Coming up next, Mark Tapson of the Horowitz Center, David Horowitz Center, about the rise or fall of the West. And certainly we need a closer examination of that. The story behind the story, the duck boat tragedy at Table Rock Lake, 17 killed. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem? He can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoons height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio, entry door has seen better days. Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest, Mark Tapson, is with the David Horowitz Freedom Center. You can also follow him at Culture Warrior. First of all, welcome aboard, Mark. Glad to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, I'm looking at a piece that you wrote, The Rise or Fall of the West. And there's several points I want to get into, but I want to begin because just before you joined us, we're talking about how the Democrat Party is basically a snake eating itself right now. They've gotten so far progressive, they're leaving others in their dust. In fact, I've been running a commentary on that point today. You point out in part of your piece about the rise or fall of the West that the working class voters, the majority, oppose a radical left version of a borderless world, and basically, yet they think they have everybody lined up behind them. It's still threatening, but how real is it?
Well, the threat of the left and their utopian vision is very real. I mean, they're very activist, they're very organized, they're very determined and relentless. And I don't think conservatives should take it for granted or just kind of dismiss them as crazies or that their mission is impossible. So I think we can't be complacent about that and take it very seriously.
Do we take any solace in the fact that inside the left, the Democrat Party, how they're tearing at each other? I mean, these guys, the far left, Democrats, socialists, as they actively call themselves, not only have their nose under the tent, they're inside.
Oh, absolutely. And they've been in control of the party for a long time, maybe not as explicitly as they're making it sound now, but the far left has controlled the Democrat Party for quite a while. And I don't think we should take any solace in that, because if the radical left completely takes over the party and eliminates its moderate elements, we're in a worse off position than we currently are or have been.
Well, of course, when you're talking about your title of this article, The Rise or Fall of the West, Reclaim National Sovereignty or Die, you point out.
Yes. Well, I think all over the Western world, less so here in America than other places, but we're facing it too. The Western world is facing a civilizational crisis. We have allowed the globalist left to shape a world for us in which transnational governance has increasingly acquired power and influence over local communities, local governance, and the traditional nation state in a larger sense. This elite political class of the left that views its own civilization as the source of all oppression and inequity in world history is steering us toward their utopian vision of this borderless multicultural society ruled by these unelected elites, of course. And as I always say, utopian dreams lead to dystopian nightmares. And so that's what's happening now, is this utopian dream has produced a civilizational crisis for us, of the lawless breakdown of social trust and civic life. It's created a terrible border situation, although thank goodness under President Trump, we've pretty much resolved that here in the United States.
Yeah, but to that point, yeah. And I've often pointed out to the audience, watch what happens in Europe. And we've been watching in now some of those nations that were throwing their borders open and saying, we'll take all the migrants that want to come in. They suddenly realized that was a very bad idea.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, society over there is collapsing. Again, in some places worse than others. England and France, which are heavily Islamized, are now facing just the complete eradication of their national sovereignty and the Western culture that has produced the greatest civilization in world history.
And in fact, they're losing their own culture in the process.
Yes, absolutely. And the common folk, as I guess you could refer to them, the people are deeply resentful of this, but they find themselves without any ability to counter these governing elites and these transnational bodies like the European Union. And they're now facing the possibility of civil war in order to reclaim that national sovereignty.
Now, going back again to your article, we're listening to Mark Tapper, member of the David Horowitz Freedom Center, a piece written, The Rise or Fall of the West. And I'm going to read directly from it, sir. The foundational lie of the globalist left is that national borders in the Western world are an arbitrary, inherently xenophobic relic of a white supremacist past.
Yes, that's exactly how they view it. They consider America especially, but Western civilization generally speaking, to be the source of all oppression and exploitation and evil in world history. And their goal has been to dismantle that civilization and replace it with their vision, which is essentially a communist vision of a one world government and with a lack of any cultural specificity, and that's where we're headed.
Well, you mentioned England a moment ago. Just today, the Reform UK leader, Nigel Farage, is demanding a general election be called in the wake of the Labour Party because it installed socialist Andy Burnham as prime minister, and he says, you don't have a mandate from the British from the British public. We need a general election. We cannot be run by the socialists.
Yeah, I'm not optimistic about what's going to happen politically in England. I really do think Europe is at the point where civil war is literally the only way out of their mess. I don't think we're going to see political solutions there because they're too far gone. And that's a lesson for America.
And how much of that has to do with them allowing radical Islamists? We're not about Muslims. We're not talking about people who just actually want to go to a better country and assimilate. We're talking about those who want to go in, take over, control, change the culture in the face of that nation.
A huge amount of their situation in Europe and increasingly here in the United States stems exactly from what you just mentioned, this gradual but increasing Islamization of politics, of the culture. And we're talking about, at least in terms of the fundamentalists of Islam, we're talking about people who want to take advantage of our freedom of religious worship here in order to subvert that and create literally a state religion. That's where it's headed, and that's where Europe is headed. And again, there's a lesson there for us in America.
Again, watch what happens in Europe. And just yesterday, we were airing a soundbite from an Islamist jihadist who said, basically, your freedom of religion, your freedom of speech, that's the perfect opportunity for our chaos. That's pretty much what he said.
Yes, they're very open about their intentions. And for some reason in the West, we have this willful blindness about it. And we need to open our eyes, or we're going to be facing the situation that Europe is facing.
Well, part of the balance here is that we want our Constitution in effect. And yes, I defend the First Amendment right. I defend the freedom of religion and freedom of expression. But then we reach a point where it's being used against us. And folks are entitled to say something stupid if they want to. But what they're doing is basically using what the rights that we provided, and they want to make their own Sharia Constitution.
Absolutely. And I think that we can abide by the Constitution and we can uphold our freedoms and our rights here, but we're not required to make that a suicide pact.
Yeah.
We have to use common sense judgment about who is here with good intentions and who is here in order to subvert and destroy us, and then take action accordingly.
You also add in your article, the populism sweeping both sides of the Atlantic today is a desperate, necessary immune response by citizens attempting to reclaim their right to self-governance.
Yeah, I think you can see that. You see it mostly in Europe, where the people have really just, they're really just fed up with what the elites have done to them. You can see this kind of uprising in England that's beginning, and in other places across Western Europe. You're also starting to see it even in Australia some. So,
yeah.
Again, it's worse in those places than here. And so that's why you're seeing these populist uprisings there. And I think that's what it's going to take, is the people rising up.
Well, in the last 30 seconds, you mentioned two or three times civil war inside Europe.
Yeah, I hate to see it come to that, although I've been predicting it for years and years. Because you can see that once you reach a certain point in which you have given up your local authority and your autonomy and your sovereignty, once you've given that up and you've turned it over to these elites who have power over you, it becomes almost impossible to get it back.
Point made. Mark Tapper. David Horowitz Freedom Center. Also find him at Culture Warrior. Thank you again for your time, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. His adding line, by the way, closing line in Western liberty, order, and civilization, if they're to survive, these ideology from the left must be ground into the dust. Amen, amen. Coming up, the story behind the story, the tragedy on Table Rock Lake.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta. But you just visit the website, NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. VincentsJewelers.com. Every summer, homeowners make plans, a new grill, a backyard project, a family vacation. But what about the upgrades you could enjoy every single day? Your windows drafty, difficult to open? Your patio entry door has seen better days? Now's the time to make a change. Renewal by Anderson makes replacing windows and doors simple. Beautifully crafted products, professional installation. And right now, save big. Get $1,000 off your patio or entry door and take $400 off each replacement window. And if you schedule your appointment before July 12, get an additional $250 off your entire purchase. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. 877-WINDOWS or visit renewalbyanderson.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-E-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I was born in the rain on the Ponce train underneath the Louisiana moon. I don't mind the strain of a hurricane. They come around every June. The high black water, a devil's daughter. She's hot, she's cold, and she's mean. But nobody taught her it takes a lot of water to wash away New Orleans.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
Good evening, I'm Jeff Lorne. We're going to begin tonight with the investigation into a disaster involving an amphibious tour boat. These vessels, known as duck boats, drive on land and cruise on water. During a violent storm, a duck boat sank on Table Rock Lake in Branson, Missouri. There were 31 people on board. 17 died, including the driver and 9 members of a family. Video of the boat's final moments shows it struggling to stay afloat. The owner of the tour company told us the vessel should not have been on the water in those conditions.
A severe thunderstorm whipped up the wind and waves that battered the duck boat, which quickly took on water.
Anybody that can read me, I need a rope on the bow.
Horrified passengers on a nearby boat called for help as the duck boat sank in Table Rock Lake, in water 80 feet deep with 31 people on board.
We have a report of a duck that has sank completely. We have CPR in progress on one more that can see things down the water. They're trying to get to at this time.
Roger Carpenter, who works at the marina, jumped into a boat to help with the rescue.
We get out there, we don't see anything. All we see is a debris field. Life jackets floating, life rings floating, nobody around. It was really eerie.
13 bodies were recovered last night and 4 more this morning.
That is a CBS report from July 2018, the event happening July 19, 2018, when the duck boat disaster happened on Table Rock Lake near Branson. Again, 17 out of 31 on board died. Now, the duck boat is a wheeled amphibious vehicle been used by the U.S. military during the later years of World War II and the Korean War. Then a veteran in Minnesota began a business giving rides aboard to tourists along the Wisconsin River and then expanding to others, and in particular near Table Rock Lake. You might often see them if you go down to Branson, going down the street, and you get a chance to ride and take a tour of part of Table Rock Lake. It's a very short ride, but many wanted to do it, and so they were doing it. And there were weather warnings, but at the time they apparently pushed off from dock, it was not apparently that clear to the captain at the time that it was going to be as severe, but they did have weather warnings that they basically, well, for many saying, ignoring.
A severe thunderstorm watch had been in effect for the area since 11:20 Thursday morning. The tour began yesterday evening. At 6:32 p.m., about 40 minutes before the boat sank, the National Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm warning with possible wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour. At 7:09 p.m., 911 received the first call for help. With the storm warning in effect, it is unclear why the boat and another that made it back safely were on the lake. Jim Pattison Jr., president of the parent company Ripley Entertainment, said nothing like this has ever happened in the business's 47-year history.
Are your captains trained to be in that kind of water?
Typically, if we have a storm warning like that, then they would not go in the water. But this, I think, was just a very sudden occurrence.
And it could well have been. If you've ever been on the lake of any type, you're out in a boat fishing or whatever, you notice the wind, water begins to shift a little bit, the wind picks up, but you're still thinking it's not that bad. Well, before you can suddenly make it to shore, it increases rapidly. Changing weather conditions. I'm not looking to excuse anything that happened, but I think we've all been on a situation like that where it didn't appear to be that bad, and all of a sudden, in an instant, it does change. And the point that was made in that beginning of the CBS report, from one of the guys on the shore that took a boat out to try to reach and find someone, couldn't find anyone, but saw a lot of life jackets and life vest rings floating in the water. They were not being used. They had not been used. They were aboard the boat, but the folks were not told you must wear them. So what happened during those chaotic moments when they knew the boat was already beginning to swamp, trying to make its way back to shore? Apparently no one grabbed a life vest. No one was instructed to do it. No one had the common sense to reach out and grab it and dispense them among others. And of course, after the boat went under, it had to be divers coming in and recover.
The divers from the Missouri State Highway Patrol got to work early this morning.
Four divers at this blue buoy, marking the watery grave of 17 souls, lost aboard Stretch Duck 7. The boat itself resting on its axles in about 80 feet of water, just off the stern of the showboat Branson Bell, no more than 100 yards off the shore.
Everything on the bottom was photographed by the divers.
Divers hooked a sling rig to the duck boat. Then salvage crews raised the boat from the water, the unused life jackets pinned against the canopy, the first part of the boat to surface. Another lingering question about this tragedy, why did those life jackets go unused?
One of the objectives of the investigation is to evaluate if the operational guidance for Ride the Ducks and for this particular operation was followed.
With the duck now on dry land, it's at a secure facility where NTSB investigators will meticulously go through the boat to try and paint a clear picture about what happened on that stormy night.
And the NTSB later determined that a fixed canopy and closed side curtains impeded passenger escape and likely led to more deaths. They were closing curtains to keep the water out, and that was shutting off their ways to get out of the boat. And the day after that accident, Stone Mountain Park near Atlanta, Georgia, where they were using duck rides, they shut them down. The survivor stories of what happened at Table Rock Lake are gripping, so very close to death and surviving. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli, all the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
Pam Smith and her daughter, Lauren, agreed to an interview with us in part because they wanted to talk about their loved ones. Pam was the only member of the family who wasn't on the boat Thursday. She said she needed to do some shopping, so the kids and their father set out to have some fun. Her final conversation with her husband took place just before the boat sank.
He says, it's not good, Pam. And I told him I loved him. He told me he loved me. And I asked him to take care of the kids. That was our last words.
Moments after the end of that phone call between her parents, Lauren Smith says the duck boat began filling with water.
It was just murky water. I know I swallowed a lot of it trying to breathe.
How did you make it out?
I don't know.
I heard that you helped someone else, though, too.
I went up and I saw someone struggling. I went up to push up their feet so they could get help. But the waves were too big. I couldn't go back to save that person. It could have been my brother. It could have been my dad.
Lauren says the waves eventually pushed her toward the dock, and she clung on until someone pulled her out. Her father, Steve, and brother, Lance, didn't make it. Pam Smith later found her 14-year-old daughter at the hospital.
I think I kissed her 1,000 times because I love her so. But then my heart sank, too, because Lance wasn't there.
How do the two of you, as a family, deal with this loss?
Well, prayers. We're going to have to lean on people. She's all I've got now, so we've got to take care of each other.
That, again, a CBS report. A lot of the audio you're listening to either from CBS and our stations in Springfield and Kansas City. But again, 31 on board going out for a pleasant cruise at Table Rock Lake. But there had been a watch, weather watch issued earlier, and then a warning.
At 6:32 p.m., about 40 minutes before the boat sank, the National Weather Service issued a severe thunderstorm warning with possible wind gusts up to 70 miles per hour. At 7:09 p.m., 911 received the first call for help. With the storm warning in effect, it is unclear why the boat and another that made it back safely were on the lake.
And that's the key as to why they were out there. As I said, the weather and water might look calm, and then it can change rapidly. There was a federal indictment against the boat's captain announced in November 8. 17 counts of misconduct, negligence, inattention to duty by a ship's officer resulting in death. And in June 2019, the general manager, Ride the Ducks Branson, and an operating supervisor were also indicted by federal grand jury for multiple felonies. September 2020, a federal magistrate recommended dismissing the criminal charges, reasoning that, quote, Table Rock Lake is not considered a navigable waterway under admiralty law and should be handled at the state level. So the federal judge dismissed all those charges. July 2021, state charges were then filed. Because all these charges and these allegations going back and forth and whatever money would be coming doesn't make up for the losses, the story of one woman who survived.
Tonight, haunting words from a survivor of the deadly Missouri duck boat accident, recalling the tragic final moments of much of her family and how she struggled to survive.
I couldn't see anybody. I couldn't hear anything. I couldn't hear screams. It felt like I was out there on my own.
Tia Coleman, speaking from her hospital bed, was on an annual vacation with 10 other family members when disaster struck.
Finally, I said, Lord, just let me die. Let me die. I said, I can't keep drowning. I just can't keep drowning, because that's how I felt. And then I just let go.
Coleman says when the waters on that Missouri lake became choppy, people grew nervous.
Everybody started getting like, hey, this is a little bit too much.
The duck tour boat, tossed around by strong winds and 6-foot swells caused by a severe thunderstorm, finally capsizing and sinking.
The last thing I heard my sister-in-law yell was, grab the baby.
Coleman losing her husband and 3 children, the youngest just 1 year old. Her 13-year-old nephew, Donovan, her only relative on board to survive. Her family, 9 of the 17 killed that day.
And I said, Jesus, please keep me. Just keep me so I can get to my children. Keep me, Lord. And I could swim, and I was swimming as fast as I could. And I could not reach the life jacket.
Said she couldn't reach it. And again, they would not been told to put on a life jacket for the ride itself. That one declaration could have saved lives. The ages of those who died in the accident range from 1 year-old to 70 years old. And as you heard, 9 of one family visiting from Indianapolis died, and none of them were found to be wearing life jackets or have a life ring in their arms when they were finally pulled from the water. As I stated, April 2022, all state charges against the 3 employees had been dismissed. Well, after that happened, Missouri Attorney General at that time, Eric Schmidt, now Senator Schmidt, said, "We're disappointed in the court's decision." And 2 days after that dismissal, they refiled identical charges. In December 2025, a Stone County judge dismissed the charges again, ruling, quote, no probable cause in the case. There was a federal lawsuit filed July 2018, $100 million on behalf of two members of that Indiana family that lost nine members in that accident, accusing the Ride the Ducks of ignoring the warning about the weather and continuing to use boats with design flaws that were made them susceptible to sinking. Low windows, no cover, and of course not demanding and telling those on board you must wear a life jacket. There was an additional federal lawsuit filed in 2018 by the woman you were just listening to. And in November of 2018, there was a confidential settlement between Ripley Entertainment on behalf of two daughters of a couple from Higginsville, Missouri. That couple was on board celebrating their 45th wedding when they died on that boat ride. January 2020, the final lawsuit against Ripley Entertainment settled for an undisclosed total. In all, 31 lawsuits were filed against the company, and all settled for undisclosed amounts. But no amount of money was going to bring back their loved ones. This should serve as a warning, if nothing else, that if you're on a boat on the water, you should have a life vest on, even if it's not fully fastened around your body. Have it on, or at least within arm's reach. Could save lives. The story behind the story tomorrow, the Cadillac Ranch in the Texas Panhandle. I have a personal connection to that story. That's tomorrow. We still have a second hour to come. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Bill Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge. A wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.